You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow morning, a Flex Friday broadcast as we get ready for Veterans Day, which is Monday. We will be at the American Heritage Museum tomorrow, half in Hudson and half in my original home continent of Stowe. And we will be joined by those, many of those, who have served this country in advance of our Lunch with a Hero, which happens tomorrow at the 110 Grill. And I hope you will come out and experience the museum. It's incredible. It's over 60,000 square feet of military artifacts and exhibits. And you will get the opportunity to say thank you to all of those who were there, but also certainly to say thank you and happy birthday to Joe Landry, who just celebrated his 100th birthday and served in World War II. And we met him last year at Lunch with a Hero, and he's an unbelievable guy. So 6 to 10 tomorrow. Can't wait to see you as we kick off Veterans Day weekend at the American Heritage Museum. And there's breakfast, I think, for the first 100 of you who show up tomorrow morning. So and a birthday cake at some point for Joe.
And right. If Ken's there, he really wants to talk about the election, so go right up and start talking.
There's a couple leads left, three leads left. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Quick lead for me. Another day, another reason why I think Shime and I were right on when came to Bill Belichick not coaching again in the NFL. Dak Prescott's injury is going to lead down a dark, dark road Ooh. For the Dallas Cowboys. This is not going to be a destination for your Bill Belichick anymore.
Why, is he not coming back next year, Dak?
Well, no, they have not said that, but I'm saying this type of injury, sources close to the situation are saying if he's getting put on IR, it's going to be 4 weeks. Experts say an injury like that could be well more than 4 weeks and actually could be a season-ending surgery if he decides to go down that path. I don't think Bill would look at a quarterback coming back from an injury like that and saying, yeah, that's where I want to go.
Especially when you have to pay $60 million to.
Precisely.
Okay. But won't they have a really good pick then? So yeah. Wouldn't Bill, I mean, I bet you Bill would probably like to trade Dak and then use
well,
that.
All I was told was that he would love to play with Dak. So,
well, Dak's going to be that? There next year, though.
We don't know that. I'm saying that if I'm Bill Belichick and I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys and you're looking at your prized possession coming off an injury like that and possibly a surgery, I don't think that that's as cushy as a place as we were trying to make it out to be for Bill to land.
Okay. All right, thank you, Courtney. Wiggy, hello.
All right, hello, and good morning to all the people out there. What up, adults? This weekend, Friday, Saturday, even though I am no longer in the fold, kicks off high school football playoff weekend. Brockton will be taking on Xaverian on Friday night at 6 p.m. Try my best to get out there.
Bit of an improvement for this team this season. I don't know what changed over there.
But they
have a much better record than they did last season.
4-4. Yeah, last year I think we won, I want to say, 3 or 4 games as well. So, couldn't remember the record. But they definitely have their playoff team this year, which is very exciting. But high school football will start. And, you know, obviously we love it. We support it. A lot of great high school football players all throughout Massachusetts. So, they will be taking on a very, very good Xaverian football team. They actually won the Didn't they win? No, no. Did St. John's Prep win it last year?
No.
Xaverian won it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Xaverian won it, so they'll be taking on the defending champs. So if you get a chance and you're in any areas this year, you can, you know, look at go to your internet or something. There's going to be a lot of high school playoff football all across the multiple divisions that they're out. So good luck to all the young chaps that will be playing football this up and coming tomorrow and Saturday.
I feel like the MIAA needs to add more divisions. What? How many are there?
I think there's like
are there 97?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Can we get rid of they have effed that thing up so badly.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think it's the size of schools, though.
It doesn't matter. Like, literally, this state, it's not Florida, it's not Texas.
Right.
You could get away with four divisions.
But then people will complain. They'll be like, our school isn't big enough. Why do we have to compete?
People complain about everything. Like,
people are complaining that
you don't need 97 divisions in high school football in Massachusetts.
People are complaining that CM is in Division II, but the size of their school.
I don't care about the size of the school. Everything. I don't think everything
what division
doesn't
was Brees
need to be equal. When they won it his freshman year, that was Division I,
okay.
I believe.
All right.
And then by the time he went back to Gillette, his senior year, it had somehow Neshoba had become Division IV, I believe,
Jesus.
Which is what I'm talking about.
Wow.
So, you know, when they won it his freshman year, they got through the other St. John. They played the other St. John's to first round of the playoffs.
All right.
And then they went out and played that team out in Western Mass that's a absolute wagon. What is that, Long Meadow or... there's a school out in Springfield that
not Springfield, Central.
Yes, I think
Springfield
that
Central
is there all the time.
Yeah, Springfield Central is
like
pretty
year
good.
After year after year.
All right, well, all right. Maybe they can fix that, Greg. This off season.
Okay, well, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
Dare I say that in some places America is struggling economically? That's what I am told. And so it's a little bit surprising to me that this is the moment that one company in the form of Louis Vuitton has chosen to introduce their new doghouse for America.
Mm.
If you are interested and you're watching the show on Twitch or YouTube, you can see it. This is the $60,000 doghouse that Louis Vuitton is selling for their customers. They actually have an entire dog line, which is coming out, including, and this is honestly, if I had the money, I'd probably go for this because it would save any kind of issue that I might have in the future in the elevator at Echelon. But one can purchase a Louis Vuitton dog poop bag holder for a mere $470 and a Louis dog bowl for just $2,160. So if you were wondering...
Yeah, people and their dogs.
If you were wondering how committed America was to their dogs, it appears that there are some who would spend $60,000 on the Louis Doghouse.
Wow.
And then post about it immediately on Instagram.
I get it. Listen.
Courtney, you should get this for Harry. I mean, it would look perfect.
Yeah, I think dog crates are kind of ugly, and we have a massive one in ours. That would definitely make it more appealing to the eye.
I get how people loved it. Matter of fact, I started to send Courtney, a message. Well, you and her in the group chat the other day about the bacteria that having your dog sleep in your bed leaves behind. It was pretty.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it because I knew she would have it. Like, they leave little, like, hair insects that crawl. Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
I wipe down his paws every time.
No. But they're in their fur when they sleep in your bed.
Oh,
yeah. So I didn't want to send it.
For a lot of people, it's too late on that, Wiggy.
I know.
The dog's already taken over.
Yeah.
The bed.
So I get it.
Late.
60 grand on a dog house.
All right. Well, those are our leads. We are going to get to They Said It coming up next. Curtis, I believe, needs a douche move ruling on what an NBA head coach did.
Yes.
During They Said It.
Maybe on our all douche team.
We will get to that and the rest of They Said It, including what Jason Tatum said about the Green Teamers having at Steve Kerr last night at the Garden and other things coming up next. Right now, though, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics fall to the Warriors at home, 118 to 112. The final from the TD Garden. Jason Tatum led the way with 32 points, while Derek White had a good game with 26 points in the loss. The Bruins welcome the Flames to the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop at 7. And Thursday night football, the Bengals are at the Ravens. Game time at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. Sticking in the NFL, some tough news for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's hamstring tendon has partially pulled away from the bone. He has not been placed on IR yet, but those close to the situation say they believe he will be out for more than 4 weeks. And it's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the 9. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib served with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the 9s. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Greg, when you go to the 99, do you say, I could have a ribeye instead of the prime rib? Or do you not do that?
I believe we had this argument already, and I think I was proven incorrect.
You might be right. The 99 is a great place, even if you don't get the great prime rib.
It really is.
Their boneless tenders are sublime. 57 degrees, partly cloudy afternoon, high of 67.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Nomery at 9 on today's show. Tomorrow, Flex Friday at the American Heritage Museum, saying thank you to those men and women who have served this country and who will be with us tomorrow morning. And I hope to see you there. I believe free breakfast for the first 100 who are there with us tomorrow morning at the American Heritage Museum in Hudson and half in Stowe. Courtney has the news coming up at 7:45. That includes the dumbest of the day today and whether a new animal-themed holiday in Oregon means that there may someday be a National Peanut the Squirrel Day. So we will get to the news, including Dumbest of the Day, coming up. But right now, this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eyes.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Sean, where do you want to start this morning?
Well, Greg, let's begin with our guy Jason Tatum. After the game yesterday against the Warriors, talked about the storyline of him getting benched at the Olympics and how that impacts him and how the fan reaction to Steve Kerr kind of impacted his game and how he felt. And here was what Jason Tatum said after the game.
I mean, that's part of this job. That's what I've been dealing with. My entire career, people want me to be, you know, louder. People want me to be meaner or whatever. One thing about Jason is, like, I'm always going to do what I want to do and approach things how I want to approach it and what I feel is sincere to who I am as a person. And not that it come from a bad place. Some people, you know, sometimes it come from a good place. And, you know, but people react differently or it's easy to say, like, you know, if they were in my shoes, what they would do. So, you know, I appreciate when it comes from a good place, but like I said, I'm always going to react, respond, approach things the way I want to.
So is he?
There you go.
Is this a revenge tour season for him or not? I mean, I guess those of us looking at it from the outside said that the benching or the lack of playing time would be a good thing, and that would motivate him. Maybe he's not using that. He seems to be indicating that he's not interested in using that at all.
No, if you watch the starting five, it's really about winning championships. That's what he wants to do. He wants to win championships, but his approach is like, I think the biggest issue, like some of the people have, is that he's a massive fan and he subscribes to the Kobe Bryant, you know, whole Mamba mentality. And he patents his game after Kobe, but he doesn't have the Kobe type of personality. So, like, they're like, well, if you love this guy, we want you to act like him, but that's not who he is. And he says, that's not the type of dude I am.
Yeah, but all during the preseason, we were saying how great it is that he was disrespected while playing for Team USA, and how Jalen was disrespected for not getting the nod for Team USA, and how that was going to help this Celtics team. So for now, people to say, no, Tatum doesn't care at all about the fact that Steve Kerr benched him. We're going against everything that we said that was going to help these guys. I think it's great that Jason Tatum has a chip on his shoulder, especially when it comes to Steve Kerr.
I think he cares, but he's just not, like he said, I'm not going to be the in-your-face loud guy talking about it.
Which is why Jaylen Brown is such a huge component to this team's success.
Yeah, we know that.
Well, Curtis, you said it this morning. It's why he's the alpha.
Alpha, I mean, it takes me right back. I can literally see the guy doing the worm outside of the Brunswick, where we are doing the show as Courtney and Wiggy are arguing about the alpha or not. Mm-hmm. And she's right. He's the alpha, and it's not a slight. You are what you are. And there is a huge burden on Jaylen Brown's shoulders when he plays with Jason Tatum.
He's the vocal guy, Jaylen Brown. I will agree with that.
But if the roles had been reversed and it was Jaylen Brown that Steve Kerr had sat for most of the Olympics, I'm guessing that Jaylen Brown
would say something.
Would say something about it and would be out there trying to prove him wrong last night.
Well, he said something about it with the whole Nike thing and going back to, you know, with the whole shoe thing and going back to that. I think, you know, Tatum's still out there trying to win and do whatever he has to do. I think that's the difference is Tatum is not the vocal guy that I feel like we're past that now. It's like really about winning chips, and that's what he wants. And if he goes out there and he's the leading scorer and they win chips, great. If he goes out there and he's not and they win chips, that's kind of all he cares about.
Yeah. I mean, during the pregame, it may have been Perk. They were suggesting that when it came to Steve Kerr making that decision, it was kind of justified based on who was on that team.
Snow wasn't stopping. If you watched any of the Olympics.
They were talking about Durant being better. They were talking about LeBron being better. I mean, just at this point in their careers, Coach, you don't have to get buttered.
But it's not. If you watch the Olympics, there was a point in time where they could have used him, and they were playing. It might have been Devin Booker and even Drew Holiday to a certain extent, like where they could have used Tatum. So, like, I'm not subscribing to, oh, the reason why he wasn't playing Steve Kerr was justified, because didn't nobody think that watching. They're just so much better than every other pretty much team in the country, in the world, that you might look at and go, well, you don't need Brown. Well, I mean, excuse me, you don't need Tatum. Because they're, you know, pretty much dominating every team except for the team that the Joker played on.
I mean, Perk picked Golden State to win last night, and he was right. All right, what's next?
Next, let's go to a different superstar in this area. That would be my guy, Drake May. He had a press conference yesterday, and he was asked about playing fellow rookie Caleb Williams. Here was Drake May.
Yeah, I think, you know, both as rookies, you know, coming out as quarterbacks, you spend a lot of time with those guys. You see them, some on visits, some at the combine. Really, with Caleb, I've seen him since high school. You know, we're going to the same camps, was at the Elite 11 with each other, was at some college visits together. So kind of the whole thing, kind of going through the process again. You know, we kept up with each other in college. You know, we were friends and enjoyed watching him do his thing. And now I get a chance to, you know, compete. So anytime you're going against a rookie quarterback in the same class or any quarterback in your class in general, you know, it's a little extra. So looking forward to going out there and getting a chance to, you know, play the Bears.
All things being equal, mm-hmm. which they aren't at the draft, but let's assume, who would you prefer the Patriots had taken between the two of them?
Drake May. It's not even close.
I knew you were going to get
But, like, that. We just watched them play. Like, Caleb Williams has now played, what, 8 weeks of football? Mm-hmm. He's really only had one awesome game. That was against the Jaguars, where the Bears team just lit them up. And that's
what's the Bears record?
4-4.
4-4, I believe.
How many games has Drake May won as a starter?
All right, zero. Curtis. But the difference is, Curtis, if you put Drake May on that Bears team, they're probably 6-3 or whatever the numbers there would be, 6-2. That's the difference. Like, Drake May has outplayed Caleb Williams by, I would say, a wide margin.
I think the thing you see from Drake May that he has that Caleb Williams, you know, hasn't shown or doesn't do is just his ability to run. You know, I think that's the one thing that you kind of look at those two. But coming out, I don't think anybody was going to say there's even somebody close pushing Caleb Williams. At the beginning of the year was a small group of people who felt like maybe Drake May, but that was extremely small. I mean, the beginning of the college football season,
yeah.
Going into the years that they were coming out, but then that thing went away pretty quickly.
I had Drake May number one on my big board.
No. Oh? There
yes.
you go.
You know, that's
which,
just me.
Which of your 47 big boards?
No. There's a difference, Greg.
Are you referring to?
Big, there's just one big board. The mock drafts is what I had 47.
Mocks.
Yeah, but your big board.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but my big board, Drake May, was always number one. It was always Drake May. Okay. From one Patriot to another, Jalen Polk spoke to the media a little bit yesterday and had this to say about the media sometimes twisting players' words. Here was Jalen Polk.
I just feel like, you know, the media kind of, you know, mix up our words and try to put things in place. That is not Coach Mayo just holding me to a standard. You know, whenever he speaks about me, I believe that, you know, he's holding me to a standard and he believes in me. So I just got to keep pushing, getting better each and every day and, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do.
Well, tough to mix your words up when you say that you have the best hands in the NFL, if I remember correctly.
It's a pretty straightforward statement.
I mean, there's no mixing that up. Meanwhile, statistically, I believe you are sitting at worst in the NFL when it comes to wide receivers. Am I correct about that?
Like catch percentage?
At the very bottom of the list statistically in the entire NFL?
I would say if he's not at the bottom, he's right near there.
I believe he is 128 or whatever the total number of wide receivers are in the NFL.
I get him, though. I get him sometimes. I mean, look at how the media twisted my words this morning when Courtney said that. That the team would be able to win a championship.
True, yeah. Oh, we're still looking for that audio.
It happened to you right here on the show.
Right on this show. Yes. So I get it. Like, Polk, I get it sometimes. The media, they do twist your words. So got to keep those receipts the best way you can.
Yeah. We call that fake news around here.
Is that what that's called?
All right. Curtis, you were looking for a douche move ruling during They Said It this morning.
We're not even a month into the NBA season, and already J.J. Redick has skyrocketed in the douche rankings. As we all could predict, Wiggs, he is defending LeBron James, but ripping the rest of the Lakers. Here was him yesterday ending his press conference abruptly.
J.J., you're talking a lot about two or three guys, getting them to put in the effort. You talked a lot about wanting to play hard and LeBron being the guy that played hard in tonight's game. How do you address that with the team? What's your philosophy for approaching
that? I just did. Whoa.
The walk-off.
That was it?
I honestly, like, J.J. Redick and LeBron James together is like a superhuman douche.
I just did.
To be clear, he addresses nothing with LeBron. LeBron addresses everything with him.
Correct.
Like, let's be clear about the pecking order there.
Yes.
Let's be clear. What do you think he's making, J.J.
Redick? J.J. Redick? Probably like $5 or $6 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a lot to be a caddy.
I'll take it.
Oh, me too. Sign me up for half.
I mean, do you think he was making more with the podcast?
No. Those not as lucrative as many would like to believe.
Even though there's a zillion.
Now we need more podcasts.
You know what J.J. Redick should still do his podcast, like at halftime?
I mean, LeBron eats dinner on the bench. Why can't he record a podcast on the bench?
The Lakers are 4-4, and I find
5-3.
I thought they lost 2 in a row, went to 4-4, but maybe they're 5-3.
I will say.
Oh, you're right, Curtis. Sorry about that.
Okay. And it's pretty much all four sports now. But the in-game stuff that they're doing with players and coaches, more so than ever before, is excellent. It's great for the fan.
Yeah, if you want to
not agree,
I do. I do. That's why I love the starting five. I love the behind the scenes, the kind of in the moment.
But you get like Steph Curry in the game last night. Like that's, I think that's great.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that because you want to be able to maybe see how these guys react, how they feel.
You get Jerod Mayo heading into halftime telling you that Drake May is not going to play for the rest of the game. I mean, I think that's great.
Wiggs, I have a question for you about just LeBron and the Lakers.
Yep.
Is this any shot that LeBron's staying on past his prime or well past the prime where they're basically a bubble playoff team for a couple years? Does anything to...
You don't mean future. You mean right now. Has he stayed on past his prime?
Well, I'm saying that LeBron now, is he doing any damage to his legacy being on teams that are not nearly what they were, the caliber that he was on most of his career?
No, because, see, the problem is I think people look at it and go, LeBron is still a great player, but the team around him is not very good. So statistically, he's still putting up ridiculous numbers. He's still playing 35, 36 minutes a game. He's still damn near averaging, you know, close to a triple-double. I think that's kind of the issue. It's like Brady when he finished in Tampa. He's still good, but maybe the team around you isn't as good. And it's like, so you're not really doing damage to your legacy. Once you no longer are putting up those numbers, then I think that's when you start damaging your legacy.
I think, honestly, LeBron's turning 40 in December. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is a far more impressive athletic feat than Brady playing quarterback until 45. Because in the NBA, you're playing offense, defense, you're running. I mean, it requires a next level of endurance and athleticism.
It's not even close. I mean, as far Brady's the GOAT because of the championships and everything, but the fact that LeBron has scored, what, over 40,000 points, he's been doing this since
high school.
And the other thing that...
Let's not forget that Gordie Howe played a game in his 60s.
That's true. Okay. And I believe Jaromir Jagr is still playing hockey. Right.
Yes. Dale just woke up.
We had this discussion, Curtis, and the thing that it's much hotter or was much hotter for LeBron is the day he stepped foot on the basketball court, especially in the NBA, he was supposed to be the next Michael Jordan. So the pressure of that is far greater than a guy who's a sixth-round pick who comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden it's like, who's this guy?
Right, he's the comp to the NFL for LeBron is Peyton, and Peyton did not live up to that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Coming up, we will get to Courtney in today's news next, and then Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday at 9.
It's time for...
I rise today to recognize a specially crafted food that draws people from across the country to my hometown of New Haven, Connecticut. It is called Abiz.
The news.
It's not no bad pizza. New York pizza sucks. Connecticut pizza sucks.
It does.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
The new line on Unlimited Ultimate.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up when I walked?
Well, we did hear from Kamala Harris yesterday. It didn't happen in the morning, but she spoke at Howard University conceding. She gave a 12-minute speech to her supporters saying that she did call Donald Trump to congratulate him. Here's a bit of what she had to say.
Now I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power. A fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it. At the same time, in our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States.
Okay.
Good job.
What's next for her, would you guess?
Oh, she'll make, this is where she makes the real money.
Writing a book.
Think about presidents don't,
she just wrote a book, actually.
Don't really make the real money until they're done being like, look at the Obamas. Like, I feel like every president,
they really make the big money.
Clinton, it's like now they're in the, you know, $40-50 million type of making money.
Maybe she can take over that Harry and Meghan podcast that flopped.
Maybe she could.
She'll start traveling and doing speeches everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she'll make some good bread.
Some believe that the way she did that speech yesterday, she was setting herself up to run again. So who knows? Maybe 4 years from now.
Well, she'll have to get elected to be able to do that this time.
A good job for her. I mean,
she'll have to be put up for the Democratic Party. She wasn't really put up this past time.
Yes. Well, she ran. I mean, she ran and lost in the primary.
Yeah. I just don't know necessarily if she would get
running against.
She would get the nod.
Yeah. I mean, but at least she took the L like a grown woman, you know, and was all about, you know, hey, peace and, you know, trying to help out. So. Yeah. Good for her.
The ongoing dispute involving the images on the water tower in Hanson took a turn last night. We talked about the fact that they were putting like Trump signs reflecting them on the side of the water tower.
Yeah.
The image of the Punisher skull with Trump's hair on it.
Oh, okay. I like this. Do we have it for those that are watching on Twitch? Oh, look at that.
Yep.
Okay.
There it is. So it was projected on the side last night. That led to the town administrator, Lisa Green, saying that they had to take measures once again to block it. We can hear from an area resident speaking to NBC 10.
You shouldn't tie up police and other resources for something like that. But at the same point, it is America. You can say whatever you want. But at the same time, like I said, in the come Christmas time, there's Christmas lights around the top of the thing. Nobody had anything to say about that.
I think there's a difference between Christmas lights and the face of a political figure. No?
I mean, I would like them to just put up the image of Peanut. Like, I feel like that everybody can get behind the fact that Peanut should still be with us.
Agreed. Amen.
Or Harambe.
Bill Galvin, the Secretary of State here in Mass, is launching an investigation into why there wasn't enough ballots in Boston. The shortage of ballots were reported at several locations in Ward 18. That includes Hyde Park and West Roxbury. Here's Bill Galvin on BZ.
Election officials and individual voters and my own office attempted to reach out to the Boston Election Department and other Boston officials during the day yesterday. They were not answering the phone. They were not responding to their own employees who were reaching out to them. They were not responding to us, nor were they responding to individual citizens. This is unacceptable conduct, and it will not be tolerated.
Probably working remotely on Election Day, I would guess. Working from home on Election Day.
Yep.
That's an odd thing. I guess it's happened before in Boston, where they just don't have enough ballots for people who want to vote.
I guess they didn't think that many people would turn out.
Well, they delivered the ballots to them on Monday, and they said, please get the ballots out. You've got hundreds of thousands of ballots, and they just didn't get them out there.
I have an idea to make states more efficient in counting the ballots.
Yes.
You have a reward for your state the sooner you certify your election accurately. Because it's crazy, right? I heard yesterday it's going to be weeks in Arizona. It's going to be weeks in California to settle these House races. How is that possible?
Why can't we vote on an app?
I was thinking the same thing.
Everything else,
Face ID, boom, you're in.
Everything else is done in this country on an app. Why can't everybody just vote on an app?
Right.
I said this about 3 years ago.
I said it about 10, so
when
thank
did you.
You-
The apps weren't even around 10 years ago.
Yes, they were.
You guys all laughed at me.
Nobody ever laughed at you.
Yes, you did.
I've been saying that
forever.
Sean,
pull the records.
I've been saying that forever.
No, I said, why can't we vote on our phones? And you were like,
everybody's been saying that forever.
No. No, they haven't.
It's not even an original thought.
No, it is an original thought.
It's not.
I did this about 3 years ago.
People have been saying it forever.
No, I did it about three or four years ago.
We used to talk about it on the old show all the time.
I don't remember.
You weren't on the old show. Well, so how could
I remember saying this about 3 or 4 years ago. I said, why can't we vote on our phones?
My guess is it was 4 years ago.
Well, whatever it was. And everybody was like, you're a moron.
Yeah, no,
it would be so easy to rig stuff. What a dumb idea.
Yeah, may have been maybe Ken said that. I don't know what I don't know what you're remembering.
I'm remembering it as clear as day, and I don't remember a lot of things.
Would that make you more into voting if you could just do it from your phone?
Are you asking me what I voted?
Well, no, because you were saying the other day that people shouldn't be.
I think it would make more people vote. Yes, who are technically like. Tend to be lazy.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to make that just about you.
I'm busting your chops. So no, I think it would help everybody. Mm-hmm. It would be like so much easier. And Courtney, I said it 3-4 years ago, and now everybody's bringing it up.
Mm-hmm. Karen Reed was in court yesterday. Her team is attempting to get the Supreme Court here in Mass to throw out her charges on the grounds of double jeopardy. The state's Supreme Judicial Court heard arguments from Reed's defense and the prosecution about whether two criminal charges should be dismissed. Those are the two criminal charges that jury members have come out and said that they were all on the same page of, that she was not guilty. Here's Reed's father, William, outside the courthouse.
This is a hell that seemingly has no end. It's not a prosecution, it's a persecution of Karen Reed. And we remain hopeful that men and women of integrity will undo the wrongs that have been perpetrated on my family and my daughter.
Mm. So should
a witch hunt.
Is the next trial the same thing, murder? Is it like the same exact?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Same exact charges.
All right.
Yeah.
The amount of money that has gone into this case from the state of Massachusetts is going to be staggering.
Yeah. Well, they had to hire an outside attorney to prosecute it because apparently none of the prosecutors in the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office wanted to prosecute the case.
Oh, wow.
So they had to go out and get an outside attorney to do it.
Jesus.
And they're paying that individual an awful lot of money in addition to everything else, Curtis.
You think they could do that?
A lot of money.
It's just wild.
A lot of money. All right, we got to take a break. We will be back with the rest of the news, including the dumbest of the day next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.